Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me, and I want to get right into this because it may be a little long, and I want to try to get done before 7 if I can. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, division 119 and verse 73. It's on your screen for your convenience. And then we'll look at another key verse here in a few moments. Psalms 119 and verse 73, the Bible says, "Thy hands," everybody shout hands, "thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." And then also in the book of Isaiah 59 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there. It's on your screen, but it says, "Behold the Lord's hands." Everybody shout hand. "The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." I'm going to talk tonight with this part 10 of our prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet, and it is the letter, the 10th letter, Yod, and it's pronounced Y-O-O-D, Yod, but I may say Yod quite often. All right, take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. Let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We thank you for this teaching that you've put into our hands. It is so important that we discover these hidden truths, that it may create us to become a better person, to understand the Bible even deeper. Not what man is saying, but what you are saying. So help us have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And Lord, let this word go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God has been so good to us. So let's just talk about what we talked about last week. I believe it was last week. We talked about the letter Tate, T-E-T, Tate. And Tate was I thought this was funny. Sister Lynn Merrick has been taking Brother Dale photos of my drawings that I put up here. And then last Wednesday night, I had a drawing of a snake. And I asked Sister Linda Merrick, I said, "Hey, you forgot to take a picture." She goes, "Oh no, Brother JC, I am not taking a picture of a snake. There will not be a picture of a snake on my phone." So, but that's what Tate resembled. It was meaning a twisting, a coiling, a snake. I want to bind the snakes, the twisting, the coiling that are coming into the minds of our young people, especially through pornography. I want to bind that spirit, that twisting, that coiling, that snake that is trying to ensnare the young people's minds. So the first prophetic truth about Tate is this: it was the mystery of evil. We use Isaiah 45 and verse 7. We said, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." And so you think it's kind of interesting to me, Brother Vernon, that God creates darkness. He creates evil. Do you think that's the devil's job, that all the evil and the darkness that is plaguing our world, that's the devil's job? But there's something in here that we discovered last Wednesday night. We talked about how Tet is a paradoxical letter, and that it both reveals good and that it reveals evil. We said, number two, the second prophetic truth about Tet is that, or Tate, is that it's found in the choices, or seen in the choices we make. Has anybody been challenged this week or last week with choices, to make the right choices, to say the right things, to do the right things? I think every one of us have. And so Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth and record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," what's it say? It says, "choose life." Everybody say, "choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Now, to hear what it said, you and your seed live, okay? The letter Tet can also be pictured as the man that is in rebellion before God, or that a man is in surrendering to him. This pictograph of the Hebrew letter Tet is the picture of a snake, as we said earlier, coiled up in a basket. And then we know that the number, the gematria number for the letter Tet is the number 9. And the incredible truth about the letter Tate is that it's the least frequent. I want to point this out. It is the least frequent occurring letter in Scripture. And so I find this interesting. The reason I pointed that out is because there's a lot of evil in this world, but there is always much more God, right? That's what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, but where sin abounded, yet grace did much more abound. I'm grateful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that there's more of God than there is of the devil. And I'm thankful for that truth. And now, so Tate, being the least frequent letter, can you guess tonight what is the most frequent letter? It's this one. I love how God orchestrates this, calibrated the Hebrew alphabet in such order. It is the letter Yud or Yod. I will say Yod quite often because I'm just so used to saying it. This is an incredible, to me, it's so far my absolute favorite letter of the Hebrew Aleph Beit. It is so important for us. So what we see here, and when you look at the pre-Canaanite drawings, if you were an ancient person, you live 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, and you drew out this letter, it would symbolize, it is, and I don't know if you could see that from where you're at, but it looks like some kind of backward C or something with an antenna up. What that actually looks is supposed to look like is a man with his arm like this and then raised up, and that's his fist. So that it would be his arm. That's his kind of his arm coming down, his elbow then coming up, and that would be the fist. And so that's where they get this idea of fist, the end of the arm. And that was the pre-Canaanite. This would be what Moses would have saw. It's kind of interesting to me. And then David, King David, would have written that letter. And today in our modern teaching, Yod looks like this. And it is the symbol, the 10th, and we'll talk about this in a few moments, the number 10, that is the gematria number. Now the next letter is going to jump to 20. And so 10 is fundamental in studying this Hebrew letter Yod. It's fundamental. It is the picture, the prophetic picture, or the pictograph of a fist. And then, of course, our scriptures are here, Psalms 119, 73, and Isaiah 59, 1. What I find interesting, Sister Charlotte, is that this symbolizes a hand that is closed. And we're going to be talking about a couple of weeks from now, we're going to be talking about the next letter that actually symbolizes a palm, a hand that is open. So he actually, how God puts this in letter, he's got a fist, and then the next letter he's got his hand open. And there's some revelation in that. So Psalms 119 and verse 73 right here, we just read it. It says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And so, Yod, the first prophetic truth, this is one of my favorite studies, is the letter Yod is the mystery of this letter suspended in mid-air. Now, this may be a little deep for us, but if you hang with me, I'll do my best to try to unpack what I have here. This letter, if you'll notice it, is the smallest. I try to make them, you know, what they would look like if they're written out in line. But this is actually a smaller. It's not as big as the ones that I have been writing. A few letters from now, we'll have the largest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But this one here is actually a smaller form. And there's a reason that it's small. There's a mystery behind this letter, because the sages or the Jewish mystics actually would see this mystery. They would see it being the smallest letter, and they would compare it to an atom of the consonants, or of a form, how letters begin and end. And so this is what I find interesting, Brother Dale. When you would take, say, this is a big pencil, okay, and I'm about to write something, the rabbis teach that Yod is that first ink mark, that first pencil mark. That symbolizes Yod, the very first mark. That's what that symbolizes. Then you would write. Okay. Actually, they would write this way, but they would write. And then they teach that it's not only the first smallest mark, but once you pick your pencil, your pen, whatever you're writing with, and you pick it up, and that's the last little dot left after you write. Now, there's interesting, this is very interesting that they teach this, that these scribes, they talk about it being the dot, the starting a letter, the dot that also is the final form of this letter. And so it's interesting. And so since, this is why they teach this, since Yod represents a dot, it's considered, this dot, this letter, Yod, is considered the divine point of energy. That's why they're comparing it to an atom, all right? God uses these mid-air dots or building blocks of creation. What are we made of? We are all made of atoms, A-T-O-M-S. Atoms. The scientific community would describe this pattern as quantum physics applied to atoms, which is the description of the behavior of electrons with an atom as a wave-like. Also known as the quantum mechanical model of an atom that is fundamental in understanding atomic structure and chemical bonding. So here you have God, and this is, it's amazing if somebody could ever take illustrate this somehow through a video to see this. You have God, and he speaks, he literally speaks, he says, let there be whatever it is, light, let there be life, okay? He speaks it into existence. Those words, those rhema words are atoms, are the yod, the beginning and the end of that letter, whatever it may have been, and it forms. It comes together and it produces whatever God speaks. And this is why I find it so fascinating, because if you'll read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, one of my all-time favorite scriptures, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. How? By the word of God. Now look what it says next. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And that's amazing. Only God has that ability and power. So we learn now, because Christ is the Word made flesh, right? We learn that Jesus holds the world by the power of his word. And the Hebrew letter Yod is the part of every letter and word. Yod is considered the starting point of the presence of God in all things and the spark or the igniter of the Spirit in everything. And I'm going to teach a little bit further on that here in a few moments. The second prophetic truth about Yod. Now remember, you have Tate that is least frequent. You have Yod that is used frequently. But then you learn that Yod, the size of the letter, is actually smaller than the letter Tet, okay, or Tate. It is smaller. So there's something significant even by the size of this letter. What could that mean? Well, number two, and I think Pastor Crystal is getting ahead of me. If you can just hang on before I get to it, Pastor Crystal. The second prophetic truth about Yod is the picture of humility. Everybody say humility. The letter Yod is the smallest of all Hebrew letters, signifying the picture of true humility. The last week, the Lord has been really working me over about walking in humility, like humbling myself. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, would pray, would one of the elements of that scripture is to humble themselves, right? And so here's a great example. You have Jacob. In Hebrew, his name is called Yaakov. Jacob, we know, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. That's right. God changed it from Jacob to Israel. So you have Yaakov into Yisrael. And only the only letter that remained the same was what letter? The Yod, that letter. That's the only thing that stayed with that change. So the mark of humility is also seen in who the Bible describes as the most humble man on the face of the earth. Anybody know who that is or was? Who was the most humble man on the face of the earth according to the scriptures? Someone said Jesus. Well, yeah. Do you realize that the Bible describes Moses as the most humble man? Look what what Numbers 12 and verse 3 says. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? That Moses, that Moshe is a very meek and humble person. And I, in my study time, in my prayer time today, this afternoon, I was just kind of going through this. And I was thinking, trying to put myself where if Moses was hanging around, what kind of person, his personality? You know, here's a man that was like, you know, first of all, he didn't want to do anything. You know, he didn't want to lead the Hebrews. He's kind of like, I don't remember the Egyptian language. How am I going to be able to lead these Hebrews? I'm stuttering most of the time, and I've got issues, you know, and he's taking the staff and he's beating the rock. He's disobeying God, you know. He's got a lot of things going on. He killed an Egyptian. And so there's a lot of things that you think of. How can Moses be that described as that? But he was. If you'll look at the nation of Israel, and we need to continue to pray for Israel, the nation of Israel is called, according to God, the smallest of all nations. Now, it may not be that today. I think Israel is one of the mightiest nations on the face of the earth. But it may not be, you know, as far as land mass goes, may not be the smallest. But look what God says in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people in himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." So there's something about already the power that's in the smallness of this letter we're learning. Number three, the third prophetic truth about the letter Yod is this value of 10. Everybody say 10. The base 10 number system is universal. There's no doubt about that. We know that. It's a universal language, in fact. It refers to this standard decimal system that we, you and I, use it daily. You're driving down a highway. How many of you ever see it say, drive 23 miles an hour? Do you ever see? Some of you do drive 23 miles an hour. That's not here or there, right? It's a base 10. It's a base 10. A number. We use it daily. It's these base numbers. It's 0 through 9, right? That's the base 10. But there's an interesting, I preached on this several years ago, and there's an interesting thought that I had about this last days language. Now, if backtrack, you remember what happened with Babel, right? And God dispersed the nations, messed the languages up. But what Nimrod wanted to do is, you know, everybody was speaking the same language. And he wanted to build a tower, Nimrod's tower, up into outer space. Okay? Anybody know why he did that? Because he thought that God would allow another flood. So he wanted to build a tower way up. And also he built it in the face of God in rebellion. That, look at me, I am God. You've got towers in this earth that are built for that purpose. And we need to realize that. But here this is, and it's an interesting thing, because these last day languages is it's attempting to mirror the day of Nimrod, this Tower of Babel, and it's using what I'm calling the binary system. If you remember the message, Binary Believer, I preached that years ago. It is the base 2 language. It's a language of computers where the system is only based on the 2 digits, 0 and 1. And I know some of you are with me, some of you are not, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I would be very cautious to see and I'm not against our administration. I'm not against what's going on. But I will say this, the spirit of Antichrist is alive. And these gold cards, that are being issued to these other nations, these other businesses to come in. We got to be very cautious because these gold cards may turn into something a little deeper. Okay? And I'll leave it there. All right. So this 0 to 1. So Yod is a part of all numbers. All numbers. That's what's so awesome about God. And what the enemy wants to do is to dilute and crash every system that God creates, including numbers. What number does he use in the last days? He uses the number 666. He that has wisdom, let him count the number. Okay? So these we're at the threshold of something that's going to happen. Anyway, the number 10 is seen as completion. If anybody wants to know what number is, the number it's used is seen as completion, but it's also seen as order. The number 10 is seen as order. There were 10 things created the first day and 10 things created at the end of the sixth day. Did you know that? There were 10 generations from Adam or Adam to Noah and from Noah to Abraham, suggesting that godliness of those generations were complete. There were 10 plagues of Egypt, right? There were how many commandments? 10 commandments. How much is a tithe? 10%. And guess what? When I read this, Brother Vernon, I saw something. Gospel Lighthouse, we're not doing like we need to be doing. I believe in paying tithes. But do you know what God says about the 10th, Brother Dale? The 10th is holy unto the Lord. We need to backtrack and look at that, what God is saying there. Then there are the 10 days of all, which are the holy days of Israel that ends in Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Number 4, and I'm about to close. The fourth prophetic truth about Yod is the divine name of God. You've heard me say it many, many times before. Yod is the first letter of Yod, He, Vav, He. Yod, He, Vav, He. In fact, the Yod, He, Vav, He, the name of God, is so sacred among Jews that they don't even write it. When they write it, they would write the Yod dash. Hey, in fact, they take it. Have you seen it before? They take a dash, and because they say we are not holy enough, we're not sanctified enough, we're not good enough to write his name or even to pronounce his name. And so that first letter of Yeshua or Jesus, right, is indicating his preeminence, and grateful for that. Yod is also the first letter given to the Jewish people. Yaakov, of course, Jacob. Then you had Jacob until Israel. And then you have Yehudim, which are the Jews. And that was a very pronounced word in the World War II, in the time of Germany. The Jews, they would say Yehudim quite often. And then you have, which is another term that's not well known, Yeshurun. And that is another term. So how do I make application then tonight of this message? And I believe the best way, again, is to go back and look at this pictograph. And the pictograph is simply the symbol or the sign for a letter or for a word. And again, let me say this. I know it's redundant. I know I say it all the time. But some people were watching on YouTube. I had somewhere around 400 or 500 people that saw this last teaching. And I want to reiterate this again. The important to note that the Hebrew word pictures do not replace, define, or limit Scripture. These Hebrew pictographs that I use are to illustrate the Scripture. And so what we have is Yod. And it's a picture. It can be a picture of an arm, as in the ancient days, raised to heaven. Or it's the picture of the fist. I thought about the fist. Fist symbolizes powers, or also symbolizes a grip, right? But I believe that what God is trying to tell us tonight is that we're to hold on to him and trust in him. Just like he would hold on to us. We need to hold on to him. Psalms 119 and verse 73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandment." And so I trust in the Creator. I trust in his power. I trust in his grip, right? I trust in his authority. And so God created me and fashioned me so that I trust him, and that I believe he's able not only to restore me, but I also believe that he's able to repair me. Because I don't know about you, I need some work. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, do you need some work? Absolutely, all of us. So if we have a, if we don't believe that God can restore us and repair us, look what he says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. God hears your prayers. God has heard your prayers. God has known all along the things that you're facing and the things that you're going through. God hears from us. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful tonight for you in your word, in the power of your word. This element of this letter, the yod, that symbolizes a power, an authority, even a strength. I hear the Holy Spirit say, there's some people tonight, either watching or even in this room, you're weak. Your flesh is weak. You're going through a time of weakness. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, God's grace is sufficient for you, that in your weakness, his strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. I also hear the Lord say that you feel like that small, minute, overlooked, small person, small stature, tiny, nobody pays attention, nobody notices. And you're in that season where like, hey, hello, hello. And even felt like that with God. I hear the Holy Spirit say, felt like that with God. That, hey, God, I'm right here. Are you listening? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you moving in my life? Why aren't you opening these doors, touching me, strengthening me, helping me? I want you to know, trust God. His timing's perfect. God's timing is perfect in your life. Trust him tonight. Give him the glory and honor. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. What if we all determine tonight that, hey, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my fist. I'm going to hold it up to God as in victory. That I'm reaching forth to him to grab me by the... Just as Peter was sinking in the condition he was in this sea, and the wind, the element of the wind and the waves and all the things that were happening, he began to get his eyes off of God and began to sink. But God, Jesus, was there to rescue. And Father, we just believe that you're there to help us, to rescue us, to help us. And we give you the glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Thank you, God. You're so good to us. Hallelujah. I want us just to worship the Lord. If you have a song on your heart, Pastor Crystal, can you go to C? We do that often. You deserve the glory. Do that one.
And the honor.
Oh, yes, God.
Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah. Misconception that meekness is weakness. That's not true. Meekness is not weakness. And so I want you to know today that we can walk in humility. And I'm not saying have a false sense of humility. I'm talking about, you know who you are. You're a child of the King. You don't have to be a doormat to somebody. You can be strong in the Lord and the power of your might and still be humble before the Lord. And so I challenge you today, say, God, wherever I'm at, I humble myself before you. Because see, if we don't humble ourselves, God will take it upon him to humble us. And that's a very dangerous place to be. It's not a very good place to be when God humbles you. So we humble ourselves before the Lord and realize we've not arrived yet and we need God's help. We need God's provision, need his direction, his guidance. Amen. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's say our Aaronic Koine blessing. Yea, varei ka ka adonai vi yes marei ka ya a adonai pa nava la ka vi away na ka ya sa adonai pa nava la ka vi asem la ka shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.